Good morning, friends. This is Joel Martin with you for the Everlasting Word. Now, today's message is going to come from the book of James, and we're going to read some scripture out of James chapter 4, and then we're also going to read some scripture out of James chapter 5. Now, the thought for today's message is coming clean before God. And what I mean by that is we allow God to clean our innermost soul, our innermost being. We confess everything to Him. We dump out everything before Him. And we have nothing, absolutely nothing between us and God. All anger is confessed. All grudges or ill will that we might have towards someone is confessed. Anything that we have hidden deep within our innermost heart, our innermost soul, that we confess it before God, we repent of it, and we walk closer to God. But so often is the time in our life that we allow things to build and fester within our heart, and we won't confess it before God. We go through the motions. We appear to be godly, but down deep in our heart, we have hidden sin. We have hidden iniquity, and we wonder why our relationship with God isn't what it should be. Now, as we look in James chapter 4, we'll begin reading in verse 3. It says, "You ask and receive not, because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your lust." Now, in a nutshell, what James is saying here is, you're praying, you're asking God for things, but you're asking God for things according to your own selfish will, things that you want, things that you desire. And the truth is, the condition of your heart is not to serve the true and the living God. It's just to treat God as, God, I want this, God, I want that. And we pray very self-centered, selfish prayers, and it has nothing to do with praying according to the will of God the Father. So a lot of times in our life, we've prayed and we've prayed and we've prayed about something, and we haven't got an answer, and we grow weary, we grow bitter, and we grow angry toward God. And so often is the times that we fail to take a step back. We fail to examine the condition of our own heart and ask ourselves, am I truly coming clean before God? Am I confessing everything before God? Am I clean? Cleansing myself before God? Am I allowing God to shine His holy and righteous light upon my sinful, sinful heart so that He may expose my sins and so that I may be given the opportunity to repent of my sins and confess my sins so that I may have that relationship with Him that I need to have? And friends, what happens is we know that when Lot and Abram parted, that it was described that Lot cast his tent toward Sodom. What that really meant was Lot's heart, Lot's desire was on the things of this world. It had nothing to do with following God. His heart's desire was on the things of the world. And you might say, well, Joel, I'm in church every time the doors open. And that's good. That's great. But what's the condition of your heart? Is your heart about honoring and glorifying the true and the living God? Or is your heart self-centered on yourself and everything is centered upon you rather than centered upon God? And when our heart's desire is centered upon ourselves, centered upon pleasing ourselves, centered upon those things, that when we pray, we are praying amiss. We're not praying according to the will of God. We're not praying in a way that honors and glorifies God. So, friends, we need to learn to come clean before God. And in James chapter 4, verse 8, it says, "Draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you." It says, "Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded." Now, James uses some language that is not popular today, But glory be to God that he uses the language that he does, because, you know, the truth of the matter is, he says, draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners. Guess what we are, friends? Guess what we are? We are sinners. If you're a child of God, you are a sinner saved by grace. It does not matter how saved you are. We still have that sin nature. We will battle with that sin nature. We have that advocate with the Father that's been applied to our heart in the mediator called the Lord Jesus Christ, the high priest of the high God, of the most high God, and we have him as our mediator in the person of the Holy Spirit. But we also have that sin nature in us. We are cursed with it until we're either raptured out of this world or we're 6 feet under, and if whichever nature that we feed will be the nature that will win out in our life. So friends, unless we come clean before God, we have a tendency to feed our sin nature. And that's what we need to understand. For he says, cleanse ye hands, ye sinners. In other words, clean yourself up. Have your heart's desire set on the things of God, not on the things of this world. And he says, and purify your hearts. For friends, Jesus taught during his ministry on this earth that the very root of sin comes from the heart of man, that the man's heart is wicked exceedingly. And if we're going to have the right relationship with the true and the living God, we must come clean before him and allow him to cleanse our heart and make us whole and have us walk in his paths of righteousness for his name's sake, in his light and in his glory. But friends, are we willing to do that? Are we willing to do that? For the Bible tells us that Satan, that our enemy, that our adversary is a roaring lion, roameth about seeking whom he may destroy. And friends, if we're not coming but clean before God and walking in his light, walking in his glory, friends, we are prey for our enemy. We are prey for our adversary. And we need to be conscious of that and use God as our shield, use God as our protection. But so often we get our affection set on the things of this world, and we become self-centered, and we begin to pray amiss. For verse 9 says, be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. So we need to turn our hearts upon Jesus. We truly do. But now we go to chapter 5. Chapter 5 changes gears about praying. Chapter 5 teaches us in verse 16, he says, confess your faults one to another. How many of us have confessed one of our faults, or more than one of our faults, to our fellow Christians? Pride. Friends, our pride gets in the way. We all have shortcomings. We all have weaknesses. We really, truly do. But it says, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. And you might say, well, I don't need to be healed. Friends, we all need spiritual healing each and every day of our life. We truly do, because number one, we are cursed with this sin nature. We truly are. We're going to battle with this sin nature, this curse of sin that came in by way of Adam, but yet sin came into this world by one man, but by the obedience of another man, sin was defeated. That other man being the Lord Jesus Christ, who lived a sinless life and went to the cross of Calvary and died as a criminal and shed his blood so that I may be saved and you may be saved. But it says, it goes on and it says, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Now notice the description. It says the effectual or effective fervent prayer of a righteous man. Now, what kind of prayer is effective? The only way a prayer can be effective is that we have come clean before God. All our sin, all our iniquity, all these ambitions that we have is opposite the direction and our emotions and everything about it, the things we think about, the things we concentrate on, the things that we spend most of our time on. Those things we have to set aside and set God as the most excellent thing in our life, our Lord Jesus Christ as the most excellent thing in our life, and everything else comes a distant second. Our very desires need to be God's desires. And once that has happened and we've come clean before God, then we start to be able to pray effectively. And then it says the effectual fervent prayer. Not just a casual prayer, but a fervent prayer. And friends, that's something that we all need to learn. We need to learn to pray without ceasing, pray fervently, pray with a passion, pray knowing that we're going to get through to God. Number one, we've cleansed ourselves before God. We've confessed everything before God. And we fervently knock on that door, knowing that if we keep knocking, He will answer, because He gives us that promise. If you knock, He will answer. But in order for us to be able to knock and He hear the knock, we must be clean before Him and be able to worship Him in His paths of righteousness, in His light, and in His glory. But then it goes on. It says the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man. Now, there's the prerequisite to everything. A righteous man. Friends, there must have been a day, a time in your life where the Lord Jesus Christ saved your soul, that He applied His blood to your heart. He covered your sins. He sealed you to the day of redemption. He put your name in the Lamb's book of life. Friends, that's the only way. That is the only way. Number one, we must first be a born-again child of God. And if you're out there and you've never been saved, and the Holy Spirit is convicting your heart and drawing you to God the Father, Jesus said, "No man cometh unto the Father except for by me." That means that you are convicted and you are drawn. And I pray that if the Holy Spirit is working on you, that you make yourself an altar somewhere, you bow on bended knee, you confess to the Lord that you're a sinner, and you put your faith in the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you cry out with all your heart for the Lord Jesus to save your soul. And friends, He will save your soul. And then you are on your path to becoming a righteous man that can have that communion and fellowship with God throughout your life. But the only way we can have that fellowship and communion is, friends, we need to learn each and every day of our life to learn to come clean. Because how is it that we can expect God to answer our prayers when we're not coming clean before Him, when we're holding things back, when we have things in our heart, we're holding it back, we're not confessing it, and we want to let it sit there and say, "Oh, it's not bothering anybody, it's not affecting anybody." But you know what the truth of the matter is? If you're holding something back, yes, it is holding somebody back, it is bothering somebody, it is affecting somebody, and that somebody is you. For we need to learn to understand, to come clean before God, because God has our best interests in mind, His best benefits in mind, but we have a responsibility to come clean before Him so that we may walk in true fellowship with Him. And as my time has run out, that's today's message. I hope something has been said in this message that's a help to you. And I know it's to the point, and I know it's blunt, but friends, the Bible teaches us that the truth shall set you free. And that's today's message. Until next week, this is Joel Martin.